Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good buddy Don Lambro back on the show. Donald is the chief political correspondent for the Washington Times. He's also a syndicated columnist. Many of you see his column across the country in newspapers across the country. And he's also the author of the outstanding book, Fat City, which is one of President Reagan's favorite books. And I'm glad to tell you, folks, he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. I don't know if you live inside the Beltway. I don't think you live inside the Beltway, but you spend a lot of your time inside the Beltway. And I've always kind of felt like that was like Bizarro World, the old comic strip. I used to read comic books when I was a kid about Bizarro World, where everything, you know, up was down, in was out, nothing was logical, everything was the opposite of what you thought it should be. And you got to be believing that Bizarro World, Washington, D.C., is now on steroids. What do you think?
Well, it can be that. I mean, I've been covering Washington since the 1960s, and it's the center of power in America and our representational system, and it can be a place where you can see be inspired by great actions, and other times it can be a place of turmoil and division. For 225 years, we survived both.
Well, let me say this. It's my favorite city on the planet in terms of visiting a big city, because it's almost not like a big city. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. It's a beautiful part of America. And, of course, when I'm making my comments, I'm primarily talking about the politics. But, you know, when I hear politicians spending $1 trillion with one stroke of a pen, and then within 24 hours talking about fiscal responsibility, Don, that's bizarre. That would make a perfect Bizarro World comic strip.
It is, and I caught that juxtaposition myself. A lot of people here were making the comparison when Obama was spending $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and then he holds this summit meeting where he talks about, we got to get tough on spending and we got to cut this deficit. It's like someone who is an alcoholic. He says, "Well, I've got to stop drinking, but pass me the bottle for another round."
Right.
So
well, it's like, what is that? Give me physical discipline, but not right. But yeah, you see, what is it they say? It's like, give me physical discipline, but not yet, not too soon, or something like that. Not right now.
Yes. Well, the budget's coming out today, Obama's budget. So. Yeah. There'll be another round of spending. He's going to, I guess, we'll have spending cuts in there. But the headlines in the papers this morning are that he's going to set up this $634 billion fund, three quarters of $1 trillion for his health care plan. And despite the fact that everyone is cash strapped and our economy's in the basement, he's planning to spend even more money. One thing Ronald Reagan taught us is you attack just one or two things, and if you can get those done, you're doing a good job.
And of course, then you finish those up and you move on to something else.
If you have time, yes. And he fought the evil empire and brought it to its knees and collapsed, and he put the economy back on track. But Obama wants to do everything. He wants to fix Social Security, Medicare. Today he's going to talk about, he's going to pursue his health care fund, and so everyone will get health care. And he's going to spend trillions of dollars to get the economy back on track. Well, you know, you can't do them all, and he's not going to be able to do them all.
Well, you know, Don, if we actually were living in Fat City, as your book is titled, if we actually were living in Fat City, you know, you could kind of see where somebody like President Obama and our Congress would say, okay, you know, we're doing pretty good, we can afford this, you know, okay, maybe it's a little over the top, but we'll figure it out. But like
well,
you
we're
say,
not gonna be able to.
Well, of course, when we're where we are right now, I mean, we're in the worst recession in my lifetime, and I've been watching them since 1969. Maybe the worst one since the Great Depression. We don't know yet. We're in that kind of a situation. We got some unprecedented things going on, even Depression era unprecedented. And yet he's talking about spending. They're talking about spending all this money. Don, where is it going to come from?
It's going to come from the American taxpayers now and in the future.
Generations.
Higher taxes. And he's calling for higher taxes. Well, that's another thing. In the midst of a recession like this, to say, well, we're going to be raising taxes next year, I think that is really kind of off the ball.
Well, stand by. We're going to come back right back to that, folks. Let Don weigh in on that right after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Chicago to take us out. That's Ann and Nancy, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. The Wilson Sisters, otherwise known as Hart. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll go there and check it out. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out my blog. Listen to archives. Read articles. You got 5 seconds? We got something for you. You got 1 minute? We got something for you. You got 3 minutes? 15 minutes? You want to read? You want to listen? We got what you need. Right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out. If you're starting a business, I think you'll find something there that will help you. And it's all free. We built it just for you. Don Lambrou is our guest. He's chief political correspondent for the Washington Times. And we're talking about, he's also syndicated across the country, folks. Don, when I think about, you were talking about higher taxes. The two things that really set the Great Depression into motion, in my opinion, the two of the biggest levers that pushed the economy, the global economy actually, into a recession, was higher taxes by Hoover, as I remember. I don't know if Reagan, if Roosevelt raised taxes, but I think Hoover did. And number two, the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill, which created a domino, a cascading of protectionism around the world. Those two things, higher taxes in the United States and the Smoot-Hawley tariff cascading protectionism around the world, what do you think about, and if that's the case, and I think it is, we got to be real careful here because Obama's going to raise taxes. Some of the things they're doing, this Buy America thing in their stimulus package, that puts off some of our trading partners, doesn't it?
Well, it's created a lot of consternation and maybe reprisals around the world when they saw that language.
Reprisals create cascades.
It does, and the other countries will, and already have in many places, reacted by restricting our imports from in those countries. So, yeah, that is the worst thing that can happen in a global recession, which is what we're in, and trade is a huge part of it.
Yep.
Most Americans don't fully appreciate it. You know, most things people say, well, America doesn't make much anymore, and America doesn't, you know, we don't sell abroad, we're just getting imports. Well, that's not true.
That's right.
Before we went into this recession, we were selling made in America, about $1.7 trillion a year in goods and services. So, and of course, that has fallen dramatically, and trade is really in the basement now for us and for our trading partners around the world. And that's why this downturn is going to take a lot longer to come out of, because it is truly global. But you're right. Roosevelt also did raise taxes eventually. And, of course, the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which really exacerbated the Depression, sent us into a Depression, they were passed under FDR in the 1930s. And, you know, we're kind of making the same mistake again. The tax cuts, Bush tax cuts, will expire next year. Bush has already announced, Obama's already announced, that one way to deal with the deficit is we were going to raise the two top rates, with the top rate moving to close to 40%.
39.6.
This is the worst thing you can do in a recession.
Yep. And if you make, apparently, according to the Obama administration, if you make over $250,000 a year in income, you're rich.
Apparently, but you know, a lot of, as you know more than anyone, small
and let me say something, that's a family. That's not even one person. That's a family over 250.
Right.
If you're married filing jointly and you make over 250, you're rich. You're going to get your taxes increased.
Yeah, well, you know, let's say you make that and you have four kids. They're in college or whatever. You know,
and you live in D.C. or New York or L.A.
Right. Yeah. Or that's not going to go as far as it once did. And, you know, not only the administration now is talking about raising taxes on the people who save, invest, and work more, not more than low to middle income, but they do work and they earn a living. But the states are raising taxes. I mean, California is raising its income tax. It's adding a surcharge to the income tax. It's raising the car tax. New York is raising taxes. So you have a lot of states raising taxes. So this combination...
And people are fleeing both of those states, too, by the way.
But, you know, many people can't. And this combination of taxes from the states, taxes from Washington, is putting the American people and our economy in a vice from which it's going to take a long time to recover.
But then we've got all this extra spending. And those higher taxes are not going to cover all that. And, you know, you're right about taking two or three things and working on those and getting them right. But the other night, President Obama talked about basically his cap-and-trade program, his universal health care plans. He didn't mention the unionism movement that he's supported so much during the campaign, but you know that's right out there on the agenda to pass the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, which is not free choice at all. I mean, every one of those things are negative economy starters. I mean, they're economy depressors, not starters.
There's no doubt about that. You've ticked off all the main ones, and there are others. You know, the very first thing they did when they came in here is he reversed himself on exploring for oil in the Gulf to make ourselves more energy independent. Said, no, we're not going to do this now. And, well, he just kissed all those jobs on those oil rigs goodbye that would have been created. In fact, they're announcing they're going to go even further than not really more exploration in the Gulf for oil. They're going to add additional restrictions on the exploring we're doing there now. That's not good for the energy policy of this country.
Folks, these are the things that have to be pointed out. This is not about not wanting Mr. Obama to succeed. I want him to succeed. I just don't want to wreck our economy worse than it is. I want it to go back up, not down. And that's the reason why that's our job, is to point these things out. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate, Don Lambro, is our guest. Don is chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, the author of Fat City. And Don, that's WashingtonTimes.com, right? Are you there, Don?
I'm here.
There you go. It's WashingtonTimes.com, right?
That's correct.
Don, one of the things that... that's been interesting to me is that the Bush administration threw billions, hundreds of billions of dollars at this problem we got, this economic problem we got. The Obama administration has thrown hundreds of billions of dollars at this. They're pledging, you know, trillions more, but yet the markets are swooning every time these guys every time they open their mouth, just about. I mean, for all the money that we spent and all the money that we pledged on, other than keeping things from just collapsing into a smoking heap, what have we accomplished? I get the feeling that we haven't actually found. We still don't know where the how bad things are, and nobody seems to have come up with an idea about how to fix it after all this time.
No, I think you're right. I mean, number one, what's not getting a lot of attention is that the fact that the markets, the financial markets, as they've declined sharply, that's a vote of no confidence in everything that Obama and the administration has announced to date. they see through the rhetoric, and they look at this, and they and I'm quoting now Martin Regalia, the chief economist of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I interviewed him yesterday, and he says
Marty's market, a member of our brain trust.
Right, and the markets, they see through the rhetoric, and they look at this, and he says they see that there's no there there, unquote. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the markets are telling us, and that's, you know, you want to see a little bit of an optimism and enthusiasm. We're going to get ourselves out of this. Certainly, the plan on the banks, which I consider the most important part of this whole equation, it is so opaque and so dense that you can't, no one understands what they're going to do. Secretary Geithner didn't fully explain it, and
no.
hasn't to this day.
Nope.
And I'm told by people who are tied in closely with them that they still are trying to figure it out, what to do about the banks. And the problem with the banks and banking finances is much bigger and much more dangerous than anyone has let on. You know, you can't do everything. And I think Paulson, Secretary Paulson under Bush, you know, he had the right idea. Let's deal with the circulatory system of the, of our economy first. And in the Obama administration, talking about change, but they're really basically trying to deal with that now. But I don't think Geithner has understands what he's going to do. They're still trying to figure out, and the markets are reacting to that negatively because they think this banking crisis has to be dealt with, and it isn't being.
Well, that's exactly what's wrong. They still haven't come up with a solution for the toxic assets, and until they do, Don, I don't think we're going to have any resolution until they come up with something, some way to deal with the toxic assets. But here on Main Street, Don, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we got small business owners who are hurting big time because consumers aren't spending. Consumers aren't spending. If they don't have a good relationship with an independent community bank, they're not able to get the credit that they need. Their big customers are cutting their contracts, and you know, small business owners represent over half of the U.S. economy. We sign 70 million paychecks every week, more than any other sector in the economy, and yet this government, and the last one, has done nothing to help small businesses. It's as if we don't exist. And here's the irony, Don. Even though they act as if we don't exist, even though they give us lip service, the truth is small business is the group that can and will lead this economy out of what we're in right now. And they don't get that.
Yes, absolutely. And here goes the two things we were talking about earlier, taxes. For small business, of course, it's the top two tax rates. A large percentage of small businesses, as you know, and
yes.
I've said many times, pay it under the individual tax system. And
yes.
He's going to raise those two top tax yep. rates, and that's going to hit small business. And corporations, they're paying the second highest tax rate, 35%, in the world.
Yep.
Only Japan's is higher. And Obama does not want to cut that tax rate. If any time in our history, there was a time to be cutting taxes on businesses, this is it.
This is
and
it.
And he's saying no, N-O. Yep. I think that is a disastrous policy.
Well, that's an example of a regime that doesn't value the marketplace and that thinks that the, you know, that you don't wait on the goose to lay the golden egg, you go ahead and kill the goose.
Yeah,
hey, Don, thanks. I got to wrap it up.
Like.
I'm sorry. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your support over all these years. Thanks for all you do for us and for the cause.
Thank you, Jim, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, Washington Times chief political correspondent. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.